Thank you, Andrew. I think we'll move to Susan Corbett to talk about the use of such a licence in New Zealand. Thank you, Susan.
Well, I'm Susan Corbett. I teach law to commerce students at Victoria University, and I also teach information technology law. I'm particularly interested in digital copyright, and I write in the areas of copyright and culture, digital copyright, and so on. I'd like to thank Susie for inviting me to participate today, and Brian for welcoming me. And now I'll tell you why I was invited. I'm not an expert, don't go away with that impression. I'm involved in an interdisciplinary Victoria University research project, which may be displayed in a moment if our technology works. And our project is called NZtronics. Its aim is to locate and preserve New Zealand's earliest computer games. The members of the team are from disciplines of media studies, information technology, archiving, and myself, intellectual property law. One of my distinguishing features when I was invited onto the team was that I was the only one who'd never played a computer game, but they've since forced me to play a couple. Now the youth, there's our web.
It looks bad, I'm sorry.
No, that's all right, that's fine. That just gives you an idea of our web page. I see that I'm already up on it. So I didn't mean to boast about this. I didn't put that up, someone else did. Now I want to tell you about our project. The use of the Creative Commons licenses isn't the beginning of our story, it's actually the end. So there's a bit of preliminary stuff to get through first. I want to tell you about the project, the difficulties we encountered along the way, and why the Creative Commons licenses were not the start of our story. Well, our project sort of was instigated, I guess, in some way by the United Nations Educational, Scientific and Cultural Organization's Charter on the Preservation of Digital Heritage, which was formally adopted in 2003. Now, the Charter urges nations to develop appropriate policies and laws to preserve their digital heritage, in the same way as we have laws and policies to preserve our more traditional culture. Now, there's some urgency, though, with digital culture because, well, this is due to the physical fragility of computer software. Preservation needs to occur as soon as possible before the disks and tapes deteriorate to such an extent that they're unusable. Thus, our project hopes to contribute in a small way, a very small way, to the preservation of New Zealand's digital heritage. Now, I would add that the National Library already has laws in place requiring a legal deposit of electronic websites and electronic publications. But there's a gap. The digital artifacts that we are talking about were produced in the 1980s, before the new legal deposit legislation came into force late last year, I think. So there's a gap when nobody had to preserve anything. Our pilot study focused on games written in the early 1980s for the Sega SC-3000. Due to restrictive import laws in New Zealand in the 1980s, several electronic companies began producing their own games and software. Many titles were written in the early 1980s, often by school students, but there's no formal record. Collectors have some originals, but the physical platforms are fast deteriorating. Some are no longer playable because the computer platform's no longer supported by the commercial producer. But what's evaporating much more slowly, of course, is the copyright. A computer program's treated like a literary work. It's copyright for the life of the author and another 50 years. So they're all still copyright, even though they're physically deteriorating. Now, to preserve a computer game for digital heritage purposes, there's several stages, and each of those has copyright implications. The digital entity has to be stored in a modern storage system. Now, I'm reading this because I am not a techie, I'm an IP lawyer. So the digital entity has to be stored in a modern storage system. that's more stable for preservation purposes than its original medium. The technical procedures of emulation and migration must be carried out at regular intervals. Copying and making an adaptation of an electronic game are each essential parts of the migration and emulation process. Each of those is an infringement of copyright if it's carried out without the consent of the copyright owners. So we in our NZtronics project need to locate the authors, discover who owns the copyright, work out whether a child, often these writers were, let's call them geeks, schoolboy geeks, can they assign copyright to a producer, to a games producer? Was the assignment effective? Was it in writing? Now, this is proving extremely difficult. In fact, we've not located a single donor. So it's been a bit tragic, really. Now, we thought, anyway, even if we couldn't find the copyright owners, we'd carry on with the process. So it's all in place if we do ever find someone. We decided Creative Commons licenses weren't going to be useful in this context, but I will get to them. Because, of course, we can't identify the authors with any certainty or the owners of copyright. For it was becoming clear that the status of a licensor, if we ever found one, might not be clear-cut. We have located a few schoolboy authors, now grown up, of course, but they can't remember what they did with their games. They don't know if they signed anything. One person vaguely remembers $200 changing hands, but that's not quite enough, you know. Sometimes a publisher, such as the publisher of the Sega magazine in the 1980s, he will state, or she, usually it was a he, will state that publication of code implies assignment of copyright to the magazine. Now, what does that mean? Is it a publisher's copyright, only lasting 25 years? Has the copyright now reverted to the schoolboy? Was it valid due to the age of the author? All these difficulties, of course, and coupled with that, many of those early electronic companies have now been struck off the register or have ceased trading, and they've got no records of where the intellectual property assets went, because intellectual property wasn't really a big consideration in the 80s, in New Zealand anyway. So for this reason, we decided that for the first part of our project, we'd use a different kind of license. So we've had this drawn up by a patent attorney, actually. So the person who donates a game to our study, and please, any of you who feel you could, you have to sign a license confirming that you own or have the right to the copyright, that you agree to assign it to us on a non-exclusive basis for not-for-profit archiving purposes. In addition, you have to agree to indemnify us if another claimant to the copyright should appear. Perhaps not surprisingly so far, we've not had any takers. But in fact, on a more serious note, we've not actually found a copyright trail for any of the games. We've got the starting point, but we can't find the finishing point. We even have the games, but we don't know where the copyright's gone. So what would have helped, of course, would be if the New Zealand Copyright Act had provision for orphan works. Orphan meaning works for which owners can't be found. Which is a proposal in the United States. Don't think it's come into force yet. Canada allows applicants to the Canadian Copyright Board to establish that they've made all possible efforts to locate a copyright owner. And if the board is happy with that, they will grant them a license to use the copyright work. If the copyright owner eventually turns up, they are entitled to claim royalties, which is fair enough. So having been somewhat unsuccessful with this first part of our project, we've now extended it by setting up a website. Now,
what do you need?
I'm not sure. This one. The Early Software Database. This is live on our site, and what we ask New Zealanders to do, that's it, yes. If you could click on that.
Which one?
No. Go back. That wasn't quite right. But anyway, our New Zealand... Never mind, don't worry. Our Early New Zealand Software Database is intended to be a forum where New Zealand owners can upload software from the 1980s and 1990s. People are invited to upload games, But of course, games have very complex copyright issues. You'd have to be very clear you owned the copyright in the game. You could upload other software, educational software, computer-generated art, graphics, music, and the source code. Or you can simply post memories, what your schoolboy brother was writing in the 1980s. The only criteria is that the work was written and or published in New Zealand. Now, we encourage donors, and again, we've not had a donor yet, to use the Creative Commons licenses for that kind of uploading. We, as the project, are not doing anything with those works. We're just simply providing the forum for the for them to be, in a sense, archived. So the onus is on the donor to believe that they are the owners of the copyright for their licensing requirements to be legally supported. So we provide a link to the Creative Commons website and the choice of licenses. Now, I think we'll probably change to the New Zealand licenses, although you can't have moral rights in a computer program yet in New Zealand. There are other aspects of moral rights that we'd like to have which aren't in the US one, I don't think, are they? There's no provision for moral rights so far. No. So we'll probably will change our link once the New Zealand ones are up. Now, the advantage of the Creative Commons licenses, in our view, is that they facilitate a move away from the author-generated view of creativity, and they acknowledge contributions from readers and players of creative works. And this is a more inclusive view of creativity, which, of course, Anne's already mentioned, and one which the traditional intellectual property system doesn't encourage. So in our view, this view is more acceptable and acknowledges the opportunities for democratisation of culture, which the digital environment offers. Now, the disadvantages, of course, is that if someone who is not a copyright owner uploads a work and licenses it, say, under a share-alike licence, which allows others to distribute derivative works, or in New Zealand, adaptations, then they could be challenged by the true copyright owner. And so that is something that has to always be considered, of course. But, well, that's about the end of my little talk, so I don't know if anyone has any comments or questions or any computer software they'd like to talk about.
Is there a provision similar to the orphan works type of concept where the work would be considered, you don't know the owner and it's considered an orphan work? Are you familiar with that?
Well, we have nothing legally in New Zealand. The select committee who were considering the bill, the proposed digital copyright bill, have recommended that be considered. But we have nothing in law at the moment, so we felt it was too much of a risk, really. We wanted to do things exactly by the book. And, of course, we've had no luck. So, but that is definitely what's needed, yes.
Why not just create a section of the law that allows for fair use for reasonable causes like this?
Well, yes, that would be lovely, but you know, I'm not quite. I don't actually write the law yet, but that is the kind of thing we would like. Some kind of, and in fact, it's really becoming urgent because these digital memorabilia, if you like, are fast deteriorating.
Yes, I'm just mainly correcting, just a computer nerd guy. I was just wondering, you were talking about the software for the Sega back
yes,
in the day.
Yes, yes.
So is it particularly that one or anything in the 80s or 90s
well,
as well? Or what are you
I
after?
No, we'd consider anything really, but we started off our project looking at the Sega because someone had some, you know, we had a contact who's got some of the early games.
Right.
But of course, owning the game isn't the same as owning the copyrights.
Yeah.
So we would consider anything.
Okay. Yeah, I'll send you some stuff.
Oh, great. Thank you very much. That's it,
Thank you, Susan. We'll obviously have time for other questions at the end of the presentations.